Trent McClellan joining us back in Calgary, sir. How are you?
Good, man. How are you guys? What's going on?
Well, I've got a collection, a very varied assortment of throw pillows. I'm in my wife's old office at my wife's house, where I am. I'm just a tenant. Pat's back in his condo at Shea Steinberg. He's got the Bowflex going, lots of upper body workouts. We're surviving. No throw pillows.
So he's
no
bench
throw
pressing
pillows for me.
Clearly, he's bench pressing as we speak.
Curls for the girls, boys. Curls for the girls.
Are you guys like me? Like, is the highlight of the day the shower? Like, is that like the pinnacle of, like, I sometimes delay the shower too, because if I do it early, then that's it. I got nothing else to look forward to. So I, you know, there's been days where I'm doing the 10 o'clock p.m. shower. You know, the toweling is the second best part of the day, the drying off. The application of deodorant, which I must add has been optional some days.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no need to be smelling Ooh. Fine. You're going nowhere. So, I mean, who are we impressing here? You know?
No,
and,
it's true.
Yeah.
I went for a run yesterday, and that necessitated a second shower. And didn't that feel like a long weekend or like, you know, a leap year? Like, that was a special thing.
You felt super busy. You're like, man, I'm checking all the boxes today. That towel's still damp from earlier. That's okay. I'm going to use that one again.
The big thing for me is I've had, like, from a mental standpoint, like, I've had to, because I could very easily just get up and not get changed to do the show from home. Nobody's going to know. But, like, I actively make sure that I put on, like, different clothes than I would have slept in. I'm like, no, just from a mental standpoint, I need to have some sort of break. I'm not going to be wearing the same shirt and shorts that I would have potentially slept in. So I put on pants and I put on a shirt I'd go to work with so that I can at least somewhat try to convince myself that I'm actually working.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've gone the other route where I've done jogging pants and hoodie, and I'm like, you know what? That's working for me. I'm gonna go with that again today. I'm not dirting more clothes. Like, what am I? What am I doing here? What am I? Is there a camera following me around? No. So I'm like, I'm going the other route. But I respect your process, Pat. I'll let you have it. But I'm going the other way on that one.
What are you doing to keep busy? And when have you been back to town? Are you new to the pandemic? Nova Scotia, and I guess out east, has been pretty lightly hit to start. But I guess no one's going to be hidden from this.
No, we wrapped at 22 minutes on February 28th. And then I walked right into a tour, a stand-up comedy tour, about 4 or 5 days later. So I was about 4 shows into the tour, and I was like, we got to shut this thing down, because we were starting in the East Coast, and although there were no confirmed cases, I was like, yeah, it's just a matter of time. And so, you know, you couldn't realistically ask people to gather in large groups, and who's ready to laugh? Well, everyone's worried about the world ending. So it's like, and it's funny, because the first 3 or 4 shows, I was getting Corona talk in there a little bit, you know, like I was working it into the conversation and in the start of the show kind of thing. And as it got more and more serious, I was like, okay, this is a matter of time before it gets there. So I had to pull the plug on maybe, I guess it would have been like 20 dates that I would have had set up between March and April. So that was it. And then got back here as quick as possible, because, you know, you don't know if they're going to start shutting down airlines and stuff. And so that was it. Yeah, it happened all pretty quick, because each day it was changing. Every 24 hours, it was just seemed to be more and more serious. And so I thought, get back to Calgary and shut it down.
Yeah, that blows, man. That really sucks. Like, you put a lot of work in. You want to hone that set. You've got a few under your belt. You're looking forward to, you know, visiting these different venues and cities. And all of a sudden, poof, it's gone. I mean, maybe give us the backstory on that, because obviously you're working on a TV show, but you're also spending a lot of time building the set.
Yeah, and you know, I've been doing warm-up sets in Halifax, working on new material to get ready for the tour, and it was coming along nicely. The hour was starting to cook, and was looking at possibly recording a comedy special later in the year once I had the hour kind of, you know, polished and where I wanted it. And the weird thing about when you're doing a tour like this is there's so much investment up front in terms of planning and scheduling of venues and logistics and marketing and all those things, and you don't get any of that back. Like, that's just money spent. And some comedians have been, you know, saying, oh, I had these club dates and they've gone away now and I don't have any work. And that's bad and rough. But I also had investments and deposits and venues to, like, you know, to lock them down and secure them. And most of the venues are like, yeah, no problem. We get it. We're going to give you the money back. And then one venue is like, well, it's past our late cancellation policy. I'm like, global pandemic, man. Are you serious? Like, so most people understood, but some venues are like, we'll check our contract and get back to you on that. We'll see what happens here. But, yeah, there's a lot of investment by a lot of people in time. But, you know, it's a hashtag, but it's true. It's like it's lives over livelihood right now. So we felt it was the right thing to do. And I can sleep at night knowing that I feel we did the right thing.
Yeah. So whoever that jerk is in, like, Moncton or wherever it is, like, you're next time you're there, you're across the street and you get the big marquee.
I mean, I don't want to say Moncton. Let's say, oh, I don't know. I'll make up a city. I don't know. Saskatoon. Let's just say it's Saskatoon.
Sure.
Let's say it's Saskatoon. Just for the hypothetical talk of it.
Yep. Like, you know what I'm totally saying? Hypothetical.
I picked, guys, there's a lot of cities in the country. I picked a random city to just give you an example of where it could be. And so that's, you know, it is what it is. And memory. You know, memory is important, you know, in the stand-up comedy game. Memory. Got to have a memory, guys,
next
going
time,
forward.
Next time we do that, we pick a random city, you should just make one up, like Taskasoon, and then, you know,
yeah,
you can make the point
exactly.
Make without time
rhymes
noose.
With Blaskasoon. Have you heard of this place? Dude, you know what I've been going down, I'm sure you guys have as well, but I've been going down these rabbit holes, you know, on YouTube, and I found that documentary on the 1987 Canada Cup, Gretzky to Lemieux. Have you seen this?
I watched
I've
the opening
heard it's
goal
outstanding.
From the KLM line last night. Someone was tweeting, or maybe it was this morning, like Larionov, Krutov, and Makarov, I believe. It was just unbelievable. Like, watching the opening 2 minutes of that game, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is nuts. Pace, skill, yeah. Tempo. Whew.
It's off the hook. And it's like also savage and violent and brutal. Like, just
yes.
The stuff you could get away with in 87 in terms of hooks, holds, elbows. Keenan also refuses to lock into any kind of lineup in terms of, like, who's playing with who. So players in training camp are getting upset because they don't feel there's any kind of chemistry. And he's like, just kind of stay in your lane. We'll figure it out. Anyway, so I was halfway through that. So I want to finish this thing off. So I've been going down the interesting sports rabbit hole on YouTube.
Yeah, that's unreal. I watched Game 5 of the ALCS where Marco Estrada had a gem into the eighth inning against the stupid Kansas City Royals. I believe they've changed their name since then. But that was like a great escape. What else is on the list? I know we've been airing some stuff on Sportsnet. Like, yesterday we had the Flames and Habs where the Flames won in the Forum in 1989. We've been seeing a lot of Battle of Alberta. We'll carry that on the radio tonight, round two of this year's Battle of Alberta, where Kachuk gets right in between Cassian's ears rent-free. What's on the to-do list beyond the 87 Canada Cup?
I started going down the rabbit hole of some March Madness games because I was kicking tires on going this year. It's in Atlanta, ooh, Georgia. It was going to be in Atlanta. And so I was like, I got to get my fix. March Madness is finished. It's done. It's not happening. And I started going back and watching a couple of those games. And I started to watch that classic one, the Leitner shot, you know, like the Hail Mary. Leitner catches it, turns, and hits the buzzer beater. I think it was from 92. So I was halfway through that one. I'm going to finish that one, I think. And there's a bunch of old stuff. I just want to go back and kind of go, okay, well, where was I when that happened? And so it's a good time to do that kind of stuff. But I love going watching the old hockey games because you just realize guys got away with murder, absolute murder in the 80s. It was also goaltending in the 80s, horrible, absolutely garbage. Like, everybody stood up. It's like, how are you going to stop a puck going 100 miles an hour? You're just going to kick at it with your boot? Are you like Gretzky would fake the goalie fell down and he put it into an open net. He scored 92 times doing that, the same move. I was like, some genius went, why did I just sit down on the ice on my knees and let it hit me? And it was just like it revolutionized goaltending. It's like a stand-up goalie. You're dead. You're dead in the water. What are you doing? It's so bad.
It's funny. One of the things we were talking about when you were out on the East Coast filming this hour is when we get back, you know, we got to get you in studio. And then, of course, we got to get out to a Cavalry game. You're a big soccer guy. Seen you out there a bit. That season has now also been postponed. When are we going to see that back, and what's going to happen? I thought this was your post-comedy career. You were going to slide into the cavalry midfield.
Yeah, I'm waiting for a call from Tommy Wheeldon there, and the phone hasn't rang, so I don't know what's going on with that. A little disappointing, quite frankly, but it's got to be weird because this is the second year for this league, obviously, you know, so it's a big year to kind of build off that foundation that they put in place last year. So, you know, like everything else, it throws it all up in the air. I know they're looking to make some renovations to Spruce Meadows again this year in terms of field quality and stuff, and they've been around looking at other pitches and how they do things, so it's disappointing for everybody. Training camps have been suspended, and you know, other leagues, you know the infrastructure's in place to survive and move on when this is over, but for a brand new league, a second year is pretty crucial. You know, you want to make sure you get it right, so I just hope the parachutes are in place for them to be able to step up when they get the green light to go ahead again, because I was really looking forward to this season. I think some rivalries have developed, and it was really going to be exciting going into this new season. So hopefully it'll be up and running again soon.
Yeah, we're chatting with Trent McClellan on Twitter, at Trent_McClellan, here on Pinder and Steinberg on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
What have you made of, we may not see them play again this year, we don't know, but what have you made of the Calgary Flames this year, Mr. McClellan?
God, it was a year where you didn't know what you were going to get each night. It was like, okay, we win two, we lose three. We win three, we lose two. It's like I couldn't figure out, and I don't know if the team figured out what their identity was. You know, it was kind of one of those deals. Goaltending sometimes was a little shaky on some nights. You know, then the top guns would go cold for a little bit and other guys would step up. It just never seemed like all things were hitting at the same time, you know, where all cylinders were firing. So it was kind of a frustrating team to watch for the most part. I don't know what your guys' thoughts were on that.
Definitely. Pinder, how many times throughout the year did we talk of, like, we use the term the roller coaster or Jekyll and Hyde? Like, it has been one of the most bonkers season I can remember in terms of consistency swings. And then all of the a coach getting essentially fired or stepping away for non-hockey related reasons. We had a player collapsing on the ice. We had one of their assistant general managers diagnosed with ALS. Like, it's just, right, it's been like one of the craziest years in terms of all kinds of ups and downs on and off the ice.
Yeah, and of course the passing of Ken King as well, who will forever go down as a massive builder in the sports community here in Calgary. I mean, just a really, all these things happening over one season just seems nuts. And on the, making it even worse is we kept coming back to the conversation, Pat and I. It was like, what's this team's identity? Like, what do you know you're going to get? And for most of the season, we didn't have an answer until about, I want to say, the last 2 to 3 weeks where they finally were starting to play the kind of hockey you expected them to play. And that's probably what's most disheartening for people that are, you know, around the team or on the team or managing or coaching the team is, it kind of felt like they were just getting to where you'd hope they'd started the season, but better late than never. And that's when the season's paused.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think this team kind of made a transformation over the last couple of seasons, I think, where they went from being the nice guys who were skilled, but were considered a little bit soft. And I think they realized that you got to play with a little bit more grit and a little bit more nasty. And I think you're right. They had started to find that. But that's a new identity for this team. I mean, for years and years, it was like, oh, they're pretty good, but it's a bunch of nice guys. And I think they finally had to lose that personality and that identity and become more take on more of Kachuk's personality, I think, of like, we all got to be in this together. You don't have to fight, but you got to be a little bit nasty and get your nose stuck in there. And when they played that way, most nights they were successful. They were engaged. You know, the effort was always there. The care level was there. And on other nights when they weren't playing that way, it was like, well, this is kind of an all-star game type mentality, and we're kind of floating around here. Guys are bailing out, not finishing checks, those kind of things. And I think when they play the other way with that grit, they're a good team, but it wasn't consistent enough. So, yeah, it was a bit of a flip-flop season for sure.
Who's your guy? Do you have a guy on this team that you're like, this is my guy, this is the player that's going to lead this team forward?
I think it's Kachuk for me because he can affect the game in so many different ways. Obviously, he's got a high skill set. But also, it's just that ability to, hey, like, things aren't going our way. I'm going to give a guy a shot, and I'm going to change the whole complex of this game, or I'm going to, you know, give the goalie a little bit of a face rub there, and we'll see what happens. It's like, you need that, you know, and I don't care any kind of team sport, soccer, basketball, you need those guys who are going to change the emotional quotient of a game. And I think Tkachuk is that guy. And you know what it's like. It's a long season. Game 41, you're in Florida. It's like, there's no one there. How do you find the emotional investment to put in that effort every single night? And I think guys like that do that for you. They'll do that thing that goes, the complex of this game has just changed. It went from a complete snorer to now, I'm going to kill this guy. Like and now everyone's invested, and you need that. So that's what I like about Tkachuk. I think he brings that every single night, and you can't question his will or desire to win, I think.
Final one for me, and that's just on being able to watch. Like, you're what, 3 hours ahead where you are when you're on this hour's 22 yeah. minutes? Like, have you been able to watch games? Are you staying up until 2 a.m. to finish games?
Well, the worst would be when I stayed up, then I go to the channel and it's been blacked out in my region. I'm like, okay, really? We're doing this? This is really? Like, okay, so I could have been in bed 2 hours ago, but it turns out, so then I got to turn on the Fan 960, and I'm like, that puts me to sleep at the end of the, not because of the broadcast. You know I love those guys, but I'm just, but I got a call time at 6:30 the next morning. Lord knows I got to be a police officer or a chef or whatever it is, whatever it could have to be in the morning. But I would always listen to the radio in the morning and kind of get the recap of the game and trust their opinion. But I tried to catch as many as I could, but I got burned on that a few times. I'm not going to lie to you.
He's a Calgary comedian, Trent McClellan, with us on Pinder and Steinberg this afternoon.
What you got any ideas kicking around for how to survive the pandemic and create a little content? I've seen a lot of DJs doing, live sets on social media. We've seen a lot of fitness people offering to do yoga or spin classes or whatever virtually. You got any ideas? Maybe you could prank call people live on your Instagram or something. What do you got up your sleeve?
There are some comedians who've been performing like Facebook Live in their living room, Now, fellas, I don't know if you've ever tried to do stand-up in front of no one, but it ain't easy. It's like getting on a seesaw, but you're the only one on it. You're not down good. The whole time. No one's pushing you up. No one's lifting you at any point. So I'm like, I ain't doing that. It reminds me of the time I had to do a housewarming party, a surprise housewarming party, where I had to hide in the bathroom for 20 minutes. And then the guy who owned the house brought me on and goes, hey, everybody, I got a comedian. So I just walk out of this guy's bathroom and go, I was at the Dairy Queen today, everybody. And let me tell you something about blizzards. And they're just like, what is going on? How long has that guy been in the bathroom? Who is it? Did he crawl in through a vent? So anyway, that was it. I was like, never again, not happening. So no, I will not be doing stand-up. Online, Facebook. I've been putting out little memes and little jokes about how to survive the whole pandemic, but no, I'm shutting it down. The tour is over, okay? So I will not be doing it. But it's great to see other comedians just putting out content and musicians putting out songs and stuff. And I think you need the arts now more than ever, really. You need people to kind of take your mind off it. So kudos to those people who are playing empty living rooms. And there will be no late show. So take your time paying the bill. Okay? There's no late show. We're cleaning up here.
It's the toughest laugh to get, the empty living room.
The empty living room. I'm going to wrap this up and then try and sell your merch afterwards. That's the real tough part. Hey, guys, I got this spatula. Looking to get rid of that. $4. It's get up at TrentsComedy.com here. I got these salt shakers. Tough.
Hey, man.
Say,
It's great catching up with you. We honestly, as soon as this ends, we got to get together. We're going to need you and your brethren to keep the mood light and remind us of good times ahead. We got to survive this day in, be safe, and we'll check you on the other side.
For sure, everybody.
See you, Trent.
Take care of yourselves. We're going to get through this. Don't worry about it.